بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 17th of May in the year 2021 alhamdulillah we now beginning the ninth week The 57th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached a point where the blessed martyrs of Uhud, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, have been mutilated by the female folk of the unbelievers. And Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, the enemy chief at the time, has managed to extract the news that the Prophet is still alive together with Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu anhu, the enemy chief, after ascertaining that Rasulullah was still alive sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and taunting the believers, he thereupon decided to leave. It is further related that when the Quraysh finally prepared to leave, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was now worried that they might also launch an attack on Al-Madina itself. So this is the obvious logical follow-on. If the battle has been lost, and the battle has been fought on the plain of Uhud, then what is preventing the unbelieving Quraysh from now going on to Medina? So Rasulullah had to make sure they weren't heading towards Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened? In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 414 to 15 of the English translation, Tabari in his Tariqh 2-71 Al-Bidayah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched Ali radiyallahu and said, O Ali radiyallahu, follow them, observe what they do and what they intend. If they ride their camels in preference to their horses, then they are heading back to Makkah. But if on the other hand, they ride their horses and let their camels follow them, then their intention is Al-Madina. By him who holds my soul in his hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they intend to invade Al-Madina, I will proceed towards them to fight. Sayyidina Ali continued, radiyallahu, I then set out following them in order to see what they intended to do. I thereupon found that they had kept aside the horses and ridden the camels, and they were making their way to Makkah. One. So let's look at this. So you can imagine the condition the companions were in. They're on the face of Uhud. Abu Sufyan has now left. Mutilated martyrs. So Rasulullah, even though he's injured, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's now concerned whether they're heading towards Al-Madinah. And with his brilliance, he gave this knowledge to Ali. He said, if they are on their horses, they're heading towards Medina. Because horses are used for a short, swift rate. But if they are on their camels, that would clearly indicate they're heading back to Makkah. So look at the brilliance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ali radiallahu anhu, and then he said, if they're heading towards Medina, I'm ready again. Even though we're in a very weak condition, we're going to attack them again. So Ali radiallahu anhu set off. And what did he notice? They were on their camels. So he goes, they were heading back to Makkah. They weren't heading towards Al-Madinah. So now, what does this tell you about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's confidence in Ali? He could have chosen any of the companions of the Prophet on Uhud at the time. He chose Ali. So this shows that he had great confidence in him, despite himself being injured, which I'll mention at the relevant time. And he set off. And note how brave he was. Single, you know, this report seems to indicate he was by himself. But I'll mention the report now, which mentions there were others with him. So this narration mentioning Ali, radiallahu anhu, is recorded in the books of history. But in the Sahih Hadith, we got further details. In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim number 2417, Ibn Kathir Seerah volume 3 page 70 of the English translation, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, she added details. She recited this verse. So she's given a commentary of a verse. In Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 172. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim.
الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ.
Those who responded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after all the injuries they had suffered, those of them who excel in goodness and have fear will have an immense reward. So she recited that verse, our mother. Then she explained. She turned to her nephew Urwa. Oh my nephew, your fathers Al-Zubair and Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhuma were amongst those mentioned with praise in this verse. When Rasulullah suffered sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his losses at Uhud and the unbelievers withdrew, he was concerned that they might return. Hence he asked, who will pursue them? 70 of his men volunteered, including Abu Bakr and Zubair. Look how beautiful. Historical report, you've got one name, Sayyidina Ali. So he was definitely one of them. He was told, go, pursue them, see what they're doing, what they're intending to do. But he wasn't by himself. So now, this is a commentary of a verse. So the Quran sets the stage. So how do we know that this incident took place? The Quran mentions it. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Those who responded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger after all the injuries they had suffered, meaning Uhud is finished. And Allah ta'ala is testifying, there were, a lot of you were having serious injuries. Then it says, those of them who ahsanu, excel in ihsan, and have taqwa, they will have an immense reward. Then our mother, after reciting that verse, she turned to Urwa. So how is Urwa related to Aisha? Urwa was the son of Zubair. Urwa's mother was Aisha's sister, Asma bint Abu Bakr. So like we'd say, Urwa's Masi was Aisha, his mother's sister, his maternal aunt. So Aisha turned to Urwa and she said, oh my nephew, oh my sister's son, your fathers, plural, your fathers, Zubair and Abu Bakr, were amongst those praised in this verse. So why did she mention fathers? So Urwa's father was Zubair. So how's Abu Bakr Urwa's father? Because that was his grandfather, his mother's father. So Aisha's eloquence, she goes, your fathers are mentioned in this verse. Then she explained, Rasulullah was concerned, who will now volunteer? And then 70 volunteered. We haven't got the names. We've got three. Abu Bakr, Ali, Zubair, radiyallahu ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala is telling you they were injured. They had every right to say, Ya Rasulullah, you know, we're not in a very good state. Yourself is not in a good state. Please excuse us. But Allah ta'ala looked at that they still were going on another mission, even in their condition that they were in. Now think about it. You know, very easy saying it. But even if you get a thorn stuck in your foot, would you have gone? Imagine if I said to you, you got a stone, really, you know, serious thorn stuck in your foot, or a piece of glass, and I told you to walk 2 miles to Wicca, just see what's going on. What would you say? Right? You know, the way we say is that, you know, the wounds wasn't just little scratches, sword strikes, arrows, spears. So imagine, that's why Allah Ta'ala praised them. Despite their injuries, they listened, they obeyed, showing their status. Such were just some of the incredible sacrifices of these majestic men for the cause of the glorious deen. So what happened? Rasulullah, now think about that. You know, if you think logically, why didn't they go to Medina? The path was open to them now. The path was open to them. They could have raided Medina. Why didn't they finish the job? So what happened? The reports indicate that when they were returning to Makkah, when they went a few miles, a short distance, they goes, why didn't we go to Medina to finish the job off? And they started rebuking each other. So some of the ulama said it was a kind of a miracle. But that wasn't the case. Because one of the unbelievers, his name was Safwan ibn Umayyah, who became a sahaba later, radiyallahu anhu. He said, I wouldn't recommend you go to Medina because we've only fought a fraction of Muhammad's men. if we go to Medina, they may regroup and we will end up in the same trap that we set for them. Meaning they will come out and then maybe Muhammad will come from the back. So Abu Sufyan saw wisdom in that. And he goes, yes, you're right. We've done what we needed to do. We've avenged Badr. So they headed back. So this is also important to highlight. This shows the brilliance of also Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. So our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after attending to the blessed martyrs radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he returned to the blessed city. So obviously there's lots of details, but we're going through Ali's life radiallahu anhu. So obviously the martyrs were buried there. Their bodies weren't taken back to Al-Madinah. And they weren't given individual graves. There were too many bodies. Quite a few were buried in one grave. But in one locality, all the graves are there of the blessed martyrs. So what happened? In Sahih Bukhari, Ibn Kathir, Sirah, Volume 3, page 40 of the English translation, Sahal ibn Sa'd, radiyallahu anhu, he said, I fully remember who washed the wounds of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was pouring the water and what medicine was being applied to him. So stop in the report. So Sahal ibn Sa'd says, I know who treated Rasulullah after Uhud. I've got the full details. Ali, despite his own extensive injuries, was pouring the water which he had brought in his shield. When Fatima saw the blood was oozing more quickly than being stopped with water, for the cut was deep, she then tore a corner of a mat, burnt it, placed it on the cut in the Holy Prophet's head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wound then finally stopped bleeding. His front tooth was broken that day. His face was wounded and his helmet was crushed on his blessed head. So Sahal ibn Sa'd in Sahih Bukhari, he gives you details. So what happened? Blood was still pouring. Think about that. So, you know, normally when you get caught, your body reacts and the blood stops. But if the cut is severe, it won't stop bleeding. So think about this. What have they already done so far? He sent a force to make sure that the unbelievers are going to Medina. They've gone. He's come back down. Martyrs have been dealt with. Time has passed. He's returned to Al-Madinah. Has the blood stopped? Think about that. You know, so when you're looking at the report, you think, hang on a minute. So this is the days passed. He's still bleeding. Where's the blood coming from? From his blessed face where the injuries were. So Sahal said, Ali, now think about this. What has he already done? He needs to rest. He was injured. But he's not bothered about himself. He goes, he got the water and he used his shield to get water and he was pouring it on the wound. Hopefully the blood will stop when you pour water over it. But he noticed that when the water was slowly being poured over the wounds, the blood was still coming out. So then his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, what did she do? She got a mat, corner of a mat, she burnt it like ash. And she used that to put it into the wound, where the wound was, to stop the bleeding. Like you say, a bandage. And that did the trick. The wound then stopped bleeding. Then Sahal said, his front tooth was broken, i.e. his bottom right. His face was wounded. His helmet was crushed, meaning the strikes were forcefully on the head. And of course, Abu Ubaidah, which I mentioned a few nights back, managed to take this out. So the wounds on the Prophet was extensive. So undoubtedly, Sayyidina Ali was one of the young heroes on that fateful day. There's no doubt about it. So now think about this. What did Sayyidina Ali do at Uhud? From the beginning to the end, he was there. He got the ball rolling by killing the standard bearer, opening duel at Uhud. And then he was, only Allah Ta'ala knows how much he must have killed before the error of the archers. Then he himself testified, I couldn't see Rasulullah, so I launched into the unbelievers. How many more did he kill? Then he found Rasulullah. Then he goes on to Mount Uhud with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he goes on another mission. And now he's helping pouring water out to look after the injuries of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So undoubtedly he was one of the heroes. So what happened? Something very interesting happened. In Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 420 of the New English Translation, Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 3, page 65 to 6 of the English Translation, Hafiz Waqidi in his Al-Maghazi 2-318. Ibn Abu Najih, he relates, rahmatullahi, on the day of the Battle of Uhud, a caller called out. There is no sword better than Zulfiqar, and there is no young man better than Ali. Rasulullah thereupon said to Ali, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the polytheists will now not emerge victorious over us once again until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to conquer. Ay Makkah. So let's look at this. So who made this announcement? The Sahaba. What did they say? There is no sword better than Zulfiqar. Who had that sword? Ali. The Prophet gave it to him at Badr. Then he goes, there is no young man better than Ali. So who would they praise? Ali. And then Rasulullah sallallahu said to Ali radiallahu, they have been victorious, but this will now not happen again until we conquer, meaning Makkah. That was a prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it came true. Ali details. In Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-24, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 419 to 20 of the New English Translation, Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 3, page 65 of the English Translation, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id 6-123, Al-Rahiq al-Makhtum, page 288 of the English Translation, it mentions, as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached his dwelling in Al-Madinah, he handed his sword to his daughter Fatima and said, O my beloved daughter, wash the blood of this sword. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has been helpful to me today. Hazrat Ali thereupon handed his sword and said, and wash the blood of this sword too. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has been helpful to me today. Rasulullah thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Ali, radiyallahu, Sahal ibn Hunayf and Abu Dujana, radiyallahu anhuma, have also been courageous as you were in the fight today. So let's look at this. So what do you notice about Ali? He's just following the sunnah. So Rasulullah enters Fatima's dwelling. Don't forget, Fatima's Ali's wife. So he enters first. And what did the Prophet say? Take this sword. It has been useful to me. Wipe the blood of it. Ali just repeated the words. He gets his sword. He goes, wash the blood of this too. He goes, by Allah, it has been helpful for me today. But then, note, Rasulullah is always there to protect the companions. He said, as if by way of, you know, warning to Ali, O Ali, Sahal ibn Hunayf, i.e. who you're paired with, his brother, and Abu Dujana, the one with the red bandana, have also been courageous as you were in the fight today. Meaning, don't think that you are the one. He goes, Uhud belongs to many. And he goes, Sahal ibn Hunayf is one of them, and Abu Dujana, radiallahu anhu. In another report, adding details, in Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 6, page 123, states Sahih. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 264 of the New English Translation, related similar. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said, after the battle of Uhud, Ali came home to Fatima and said, O Fatima, take this flawless sword from me. Rasulullah thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you think you have fought well, then so have Sahal ibn Hunayf and Abu Dujana Simak ibn Khalasha radiyallahu anhu. So this adds a detail. Ali radiyallahu anhu said, this sword is flawless. Meaning, I've never suffered defeat with it. Take this flawless sword. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Same Sahaba. Because if you have fought well, so have Sahal ibn Hunayf and Abu Dujana, whose real name is Simak ibn Kharasha. And this is a Sahih Hadith. So now, who are these two Sahaba? Right? You know, there's the problem in it, right? So he goes, okay. So what did they? So a person goes, mashallah, how did they find bravery? Give me details. And then people pull classic one out. Oh, Rasulullah's words are enough for me. Are they? Mashallah. Right? That means you don't know. So if Rasulullah told that to Ali, who was he really talking to? He was telling all the Muslims till the end of time. He goes, find out what they did. I'm telling you. So let's turn to Simak first. Simak ibn Kharash Abu Dujana. With regards to this companion, he had taken a sword from Rasulullah before the Baal. And he said and asked, what is the right of this sword, Ya Rasulullah? I've taken it from you. What is the right of this sword? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is to strike the enemy with it until it breaks. That's the right of this sword. So he responded, I will take it and certainly fulfill the right that is due to it. The Holy Prophet gave it to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is this recorded? In Sahih Muslim, number 1971, Ahmad in his Musnad 3-123, Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-230, Sahih, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 396-97 of the New English Translation, Al-Bidayah, volume 4, page 15, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, volume 3, page 101, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 285 of the New English Translation. So what is it mentioned in Sahih Muslim? The Holy Prophet has a sword. Simaq ibn Kharasha, who's famously known by his kunyat Abu Dujana, he takes it. Because what's the right, Ya Rasulullah? You break it. You fight that hard with it, and you break it. He says, yes, I'm ready. It is further related that when he had taken the blessed sword, he tied his famous red bandana around his head and then began to strut with pride amongst the rows. He started showing off. You know, like you're doing that one, taunting the unbelievers. So what happened? Seeing him strutting, Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, undoubtedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes this, except in this situation. Undoubtedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes this, except in this situation. This is in Bayhaqi, in his Dalail al-Nubu'ah 3-233, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid 6-109, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 397 of the New English Translation. So he's basically showing pride. Where can you legally show pride? On the battlefield. But that's the problem. If you fight a bullet on the battlefield, no. Then why are you showing pride for then? Right? The place you're supposed to show it, never been on it. And we're showing it here. Right? You know, think about that. So he had knowledge of the Shariat. He was taunting them. So now, Zubair radiallahu anhu, he asked about this red bandana. He says, why is he putting this red bandana on? What's all that about? So the Ansar said, Abu Dujana has taken out the bandana of death. Zubair continued, indeed, subhanallah, he never met anyone, but he killed him. Because I saw it with my own eyes. This is in Hakim in his Mustadrak, volume 3, page 230, Sahih. Zahabi Sahih, Hafiz Suhaili in his Ar-Rawd al-Unuf 3-247, Al-Bidayah Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 397 of the New English Translation, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 287 of the New English Translation. So now Zubair, what did he say? Zubair didn't know what he was doing. He goes, what's this? You know, it's interesting. Why is he putting a red, you know, are you doing karate in it? Like, what's all that about, right? So he's doing it on the battlefield. So Zubair goes, what's he doing? Oh, he's ready to die. He does that. And then Zubair was keeping a sharp eye on him, thinking, let's see how he fights. He goes, if anybody came, barzakh. He's just taken him out. At the critical phase of the Battle of Uhud, something amazing he did. Qatada and Ibn Ishaq, radiallahu anhu, they both related. Abu Dujana, radiallahu anhu, protected Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by exposing his back to the arrows. Until it was full of arrows, whilst he was inclining upon him to defend him until he received many wounds. Subhanallah. This is in Tabarani, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 406 of the New English Translation, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, comments upon the chain of narrators, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 290 of the New English Translation. So he was one of those who never left Rasulullah. He was the best. And when the arrows were locking on to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could, the only way he thought he could protect him was to use his back. And his back looked like a hedgehog. So think about it. He's got the sword of Rasulullah slaughtering them. But when the battle took a turn for the worst, he's now defending Rasulullah. And the report says, full of arrows. He should have been martyred. But he wasn't. So go back. What did the Prophet say to Ali? Careful. Abu Dujana fought bravely as well. So Sahal ibn Hunayf, oh, you ask Muslims, nah, Who's Ronaldo? Full tafsir. Who's Rivaldo? Full tafsir. Who's, I don't know, these new ones, right? Kache wale, right? Full tafsir. You go, who's Abu Dujana? He goes, you got me there. Does he play for, does he play for Italian team? No, he's Saba. Subhanallah, isn't it? And he goes, oh, don't you know who he is? Do you know anything about him? Well, what did he contribute towards Islam? He defended Rasulullah with his bike. His bike was like a porcupine. Next minute, he's thinking, no wonder the Wafid are, you know, playing games with you. Right? So why am I mentioning these other Sahaba? Because to leave them, there's something wrong with you, mate. You know, leave people who've, you know, literally given their lives to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But at the same time, Ali is there, no doubt, radiallahu. But fascinating, Rasulullah even told Ali, be careful. Because he was saying, look, this sword has served me well. Why? Because people would look at that report. He knew the Prophet would then look at this. And they would think, well, nobody, the Prophet didn't correct Ali. Yeah. So the Prophet immediately said, others have fought just as bravely. And these weren't as, they're not technically the most famous of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what happened to this man, Abu Dujana? This exalted man was later blessed with martyrdom during the Battle of Yamama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with him and forgive us all for his honorable sake. Amen. So what happened? Musaylimah Dalai, the false prophet, Abu Dujana got him. But when he struck him, his guard temporarily went down. He goes, I've killed the shaitan. Right? And next minute he was struck. He was martyred. So the last thing he probably did with that blessed sword was he got the fatal strike with that false prophet in Abu Bakr's Khalifat. So he was one of the martyrs of Yamama. Abu Dujana Simag ibn Khalasha radiallahu. Another thing I should have mentioned. When Rasulullah gave the sword first, because who will take this sword and fulfill its right? Zubair got so, Ya Rasulullah, I'm ready. And the Prophet said about Zubair, he's a special disciple, Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet turned away from Zubair. Zubair couldn't believe it. So he goes, who will take the right of this sword? So Zubair goes, I'm ready, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet turned away again. Zubair's thinking, I'm his cousin. Then Abu Dujana, Simak ibn Khalasha gets up. He goes, yes. So Zubair goes, I'm going to keep an eye on him. He goes, how come the sword wasn't given to me? And then he goes, during Uhud, he goes, Subhanallah. He goes, he fulfilled the role admirably. But I noticed one weakness. Later he asked him, he goes, MashaAllah, you fought amazing with that sword. But there was one person you didn't strike. Why did you let that person go? And Abu Dujana goes, oh, it was a woman. And I don't want to taint the sword of Rasulullah by killing a woman. And who was that woman? Hind. He was Hind, radiallahu. So Zubair goes, Allah the Lion, his messenger know best, meaning I would have killed her. That's why the Prophet didn't give the sword to Zubair, radiallahu. So note, look at what they were competing for. They were competing for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for stupid things like we do. Clothes, gold, jewelry, houses, money, bakwas. They were competing for honor to please Allah. So then he goes, why has he got this sword? That's where you compete. And then he goes, why didn't you kill that person? This is a woman. So Abu Dujana, mashallah, he was martyred later in the Battle of Yamama. So all I mentioned today was basically more details with regards to the Battle of Uhud. So we moved on now to after the Battle of Uhud. And who are these individuals who are being mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And many a lesson to learn. But of course, the most important thing is to get a better picture of what happened. At the same time, then protecting your iman. Because when people start elevating one companion above others, you put them in their place. You're showing great disrespect to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by leaving them out. You know, they gave their lives. You're not even remembering them. You know, subhanallah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhana bihamdi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa bi llahi minash shaitani rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa wasbil haqq wa wasbil sabr sadaqallahu al azim.